Come on, worship and glorify the Lord with us this morning. Riba sata kalamande, if it's afternoon or it's night where you are, just worship God with us. Reda bakasata kalamanda, radoje gredege sagadia sata. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we worship you, we glorify your name. There is none like you, King of Kings. There is none like you, Lord of Lords. There is none like you, Adonai. There is none like you, Jehovah Jireh. There is none like you, Tzidikenu. There is none like you, Rapha. There is none like you, Jehovah Magen. There is none like you, King of Glory. Kera basato. Mende reba sata kalabahasa. Rekradushke kedia santa ladabaka sata kalamande. In Jesus mighty name, Korabasata Ladabaka Sakaya Reko Soto. If you're just joining us, invite somebody to watch with you. Don't watch alone, don't be blessed alone, but get somebody, share the video with someone, like and share, comment on the video so that we know who's joining us today. Reko Dabasantale Reke Sekete Kelemenda Radoje Krediga Dia Sata Ladabaka Soto Barako Doseke Dia Santa Ladabaka Sakaya. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we glorify your name, amen and amen. In this our month of July, we are going on a theme, a prayer theme called War Cry, and we are praying and we are crying to God. The Bible says, though we live in the flesh, though we walk in the flesh, our warfare is also not in the flesh. We are in the flesh, but our warfare is not carnal. Our warfare is not fleshly, but our weapons of warfare are not carnal, neither are they fleshly, but they are mighty into pulling down strongholds. So we are declaring during this season of War Cry that strongholds are falling in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever it is that has been standing in your way, whatever it is that has been hindering you, your family, your marriage, your work, your business, we are declaring in the mighty name of Jesus the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Whether you've been facing something that is very, you know, very natural, very present, things that you can see, you can touch, the Bible says we do not wage war in that way, but we wage war in a mighty superior way. We have weapons that are mighty into pulling down the very root of the system that is coming against you. So for the next couple of minutes, I just want you to begin to declare and begin to pray for whatever it is that is in your life that is waging war against you, whatever it is that is coming against you, whatever it is that is hindering you, whatever it is that is putting you on a hold. The Bible says we have the authority and the power, the weapons of our warfare, they pull down strongholds. So whatever has been a hold, we are declaring that it's going down in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth and just begin to declare that it's going down, that stronghold. Strongholds in your finances are falling. Strongholds in your marriage are falling. Strongholds in any area of your life, over your children, they are falling. At your workplace, they are falling. In the mighty name of Jesus, even strongholds against your spiritual walk with God, they are falling in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, declare it. Reda baka sando koda bayata kadabaka sata regede do santia gadaya zatre. Koramanda rada bakasata kadiba kasata. Strongholds against your health in the mighty name of Jesus. Maybe you just received a note from the doctor on your doctor's visit and they told you something that you're not expecting. We are declaring in the mighty name of Jesus that by his stripes you are healed, that the price has already been paid, that the chastisement upon his body, it brought you peace, peace of mind, it brought you peace. Depression is cancelled. You have peace of mind in the name of Jesus. Koba sando recado jekre de dia sado mandoko zoto kola dabaka sata kaya ladroge zonto kolianda radabaka sata kalide boko soto barazo krede gia sada da diezete libada jake de geza zidaga dia sata reko soto. Cry out this morning, cry out this afternoon, this evening, cry out in the name of Jesus. Declare it, kora basata kalambahaza Rekro Dogoshka Gadia Sata, that you are more than a conqueror, that you are triumphing over, that every test that has been coming your way, you are turning it into your testimony. It is turning around into your testimony, that everything bad happening against you, that God will make it work for your good in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Radabasante Kelede Bogosataya. Receive your miracle now in Jesus. Jesus' mighty name, Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe that I've been blessed. If you have sickness in any area of your body right where you are, place your hand on that area of your body that is sickness. And I pray for you now. I declare healing to come over your body right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare supernatural healing in the name of Jesus. Even as you begin to hear the word of God, as we're getting into the word, let that process of healing just begin to continue. As you hear the word, let the word begin to do its work and complete healing come over you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Last week we began a series on bearing the image of God, bearing the image of God, bearing the image of Christ. So we were looking at the different types of people that we have in the body of Christ. Number one, we have in the world and also in the body of Christ, we have the unbeliever, those that have refused to receive the knowledge and the message of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have in the church, those that we call the worldly believers, or the carnal believers. We classify them into many different categories. The worldly believer is a believer that believes in God, but still happens to walk in the way of the people of the world. In other words, they still have the standards of this world. They do believe God, but they do everything else as the world does. They live in a constant battle of which is to be primary, the world or God. So when you talk about them concerning certain things in their life, they say, oh, don't be judgmental. The Bible says, do not judge. When you begin to tell them that this is what the word of God says, they do not find reason in what the word of God says, but they have worldly standards more than they have godly standards. And then we have the hypocrites, those who pretend. You know, unlike the worldly believers, their struggle is very evident and it's very real. They are not fake people. They are just who they are. You know, they struggle and you don't see them hide the struggle. But the hypocrite are the type of believers who have a double standard. You know, they have an outward holiness, but deep inside, where people are not seeing, in the secret place, they do things that they hope that people will not see and will not find out. So when you see them out there holding their Bibles, walking tall, you think, I found a Christian brother, I found a Christian sister, but only to realize that it's all pretense. They're actually deep living in sin where nobody else is seeing. And the Bible says, whatever thing that you do in secret, you know, at one day God will just bring it out. One day, you know, you'll be standing before the Lord, and for those very things that no man was seeing around you, before you, you know, God will just begin to question you concerning those things. And then we have the backsliding believer. You know, the struggle with the backsliding believer that they have is that when they're in the process of backsliding doesn't ring a bell that, yay, look, we are backsliding here. But actually what happens is that all the stages of them backsliding happens under their watch. So it means they are seeing and they don't see anything wrong in the things that they are doing. They don't even realize that they've fallen away from grace, because if they pray for the sick still get healed, yet they are in sin. So there's no big difference between them and the hypocrite. But these ones, they do not know what they are doing. You know, sometimes they are blinded by the grace of God to the fact that they are actually falling away from the very grace that they think they are still holding on unto. So they remain religious enough to throw one scripture here, one scripture there, but they've already left. Their relationship with God has been, you know, it's been cancelled. They no longer have any relationship with God. They are backsliding. So these are the different types. And the other type of a person is the heavenly person, is the spiritual person. And in this teaching today, we're going on part two of the teaching, and I'm hoping that we get, you know, to talk about everything. But if not, we're gonna do a part three where we clearly explain what a heavenly believer ought to be doing. So Apostle Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45, he says, so it is written, the first Adam became a living being and the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual came. So when you look at the first Adam, according to the book of Genesis chapter 3, we realize that the first Adam was responsible for the fall of men. The first Adam was responsible for men's separation from the life of God. When God created man, he said, let them bear our image and our likeness. In other words, there was a part of God that was on the inside of us. But with the fall of Adam, that part of God died. In other words, spiritually we became dead, and we only became living beings, and we became living souls without the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Why? Because Adam sinned. And the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12, explaining that situation, it says, therefore as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, and no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. So because of Adam, every man on earth became a sinner. What does that mean? It means we are born with the nature of sin. David says so in the book of Psalm 51 verse 5. He says, surely I was sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So because of the first Adam, we lost our spiritual life. We lost our connection with God. Spiritually, we became dead. And the sin nature, as Romans chapter 5, you know, clearly puts it, that as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin. So death spread to all men, because all men sinned. So we sinned when we were in Adam. When Adam sinned, we all became sinners. David says, my mother conceived me in sin. I was given birth to, from the day I came on this earth, from the day I was conceived in sin. From the day I was born, I was already in sin because of the sin of Adam. So the first Adam, which is the man that God created at the beginning, he caused all men to be born sinners. What does that mean? When you begin to read the book of Genesis, you realize the Bible tells us about Cain and Abel. No one sat down with Cain and gave him mentorship and gave him teaching concerning what it is to become a jealous man. The Bible just told us that Cain was jealousy. And nowhere from the beginning of the Bible to the point where Adam sinned, and even after Adam sinned, do we hear of the word jealousy. But we only hear it from the time that it talks about Cain and Abel. And nowhere are we told that men were taught to be jealous. The Bible just simply said, and Cain was jealous of his brother because of his brother's offering. Who taught Cain to be jealous? Cain was born in the nature, in the sin nature, in the nature of sin. He was conceived in sin because of the fall of Adam. And nowhere are we told that someone sat with Cain and taught him how to be a killer or to be a murderer. The Bible says, and Cain killed his brother. Who taught him that? It was the nature that we were born with. I mean, when you look at little kids, no one tells them that taking sugar without asking permission is stealing. But you just see them, even before they start talking, they do something, they try to hide it. Why? Because of the nature that we were born into. We're born with the nature of sin, into the sin nature. When Adam sinned, when men fell, when we lost the presence and we lost the Spirit of God, in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, the sin nature came in. That every man that is born on this earth, they are born and conceived in sin, in their mother's womb. So no one is tutored, no one is mentored into sinning. It's the nature that we are born with. So through Adam, the Bible says, men became helpless. Men became subject to death. Through Adam, men became a servant of sin and of death, because the law of sin and death kicked in by the time that Adam did not listen to God. By the time that Adam became disobedient to God, the light of God that was in men, the Bible says, it fizzled out, it died out. The first Adam became a living soul, and as such, we that were born after that pattern, we're also born as living souls without the life of God on the inside of us. Romans chapter 5 says that man was under the dominion of sin and was under the tight grip of death because of the sin of one man. Through the sin of one man, death and sin entered. Sin entered and then death. So we became subject to decay. If you want to read Romans chapter 8, it says, all creation is under subject today, and they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons. Who are these sons? These are the heavenly men that I'm going to be talking about. Nature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons. So the first Adam became a living soul. He became a carnal being. He became a natural man. He lost the image and the likeness of God. But the Bible says, but the second Adam. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So the first Adam became separated. He became natural. So all the different types of men we were talking about, you know, the previous week, we're talking about the worldly believer, we're talking about the unsaved men, we're talking about the unbelieving men, we're talking about the hypocritical men, we're talking about the worldly believer, we're talking about the backsliding men. All of those are a resemblance of men living in their natural nature, of men being in their natural nature. Whereas when Christ came so that he might reverse what Adam did. So let's see this. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 21, the Bible says death came through Adam. So men became subject to death because of Adam. In other words, men became natural and became subject to things that affect the natural because of the fall of what? Of Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:46, Apostle Paul says, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, so we were created in the likeness of God. But because of Adam's sin, the natural then became first. In other words, the natural took over. And then, at that precise moment, that was the death of the spiritual. So in other words, our lives became subject to the natural things. We became carnal. We became subject to things that are carnal. In other words, we are subject to sickness. We became subject to sickness and disease. Why? Because we are subject to death. We became subject to everything that happens around us, to time and chance, to things just happening or carrying in a natural way. Why? Because the first thing that Adam did was to fall away from the presence of God. And when he did so, the natural became first. The order was no longer spirit and natural, but it was natural and then spirit. And why? Because the spirit was taken out of the picture. So men became natural. And every natural calamity that befalls mankind, that befalls natural things, we became subject to those things because of the fall of Adam. So the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spirit. So that means we became natural in Adam. Death began to operate in us because of Adam. Now, death does not operate alone. You know, there's sickness, accidents, all things that can lead men to die. Those things, you know, they had authority over men because death reigned and had a tight grip of man because of Adam's sin. So anything that can result in death, it became so, you know, dominant over man because of the fall of Adam. In Adam, the Bible says, we all have sinned, and in him we all die. But in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says, God at the right time. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, right where you are, you can just begin to declare this, that God at the right time. Maybe you've been experiencing, you know, a little bit of dominion of death over your business, dominion of death over your health. But the Bible is saying God at the right time, meaning it might have been operating all this while, but there came a time that was called God's time. There came a time that was called the right time of God. There came a time that was called the Kairos moment of God, where God is beginning to set things according to the standard that he created them in. The Bible says in Romans 5:16, when the time was right, the anointed one came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners, and who were sinners, who were entirely helpless and weak, powerless to save themselves. So at the right time and at the right moment, God saw it fit that he would send Jesus so that he would bring back the order that the spirit goes first before the natural, that the spirit goes first before the flesh or carnal or carnality. God at the right time reversed that thing which gripped and hindered men to progress in their life. So God sent the second Adam. That's what the Bible says. Now, the first Adam was a living soul, but the second Adam was a life life-giving spirit. So at the right time, God restored the life-giving spirit back to man. In John chapter 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish but shall receive eternal life." Why? Because the second Adam is the life giver. He gives eternal life. Jesus came as the second Adam for one purpose and for one reason, that he might give eternal life. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But the truth is, Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruit of a great resurrection harvest, as the first fruit of a great resurrection harvest of those who have died. Even as all who are in Adam die, so also those who are in Christ will be made alive in him." Come on, this is powerful. The Bible says, Christ, this is the truth, that Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection harvest. In other words, Christ is the first fruit, the first of his kind, first of those that shall receive eternal life, first of those that shall live in eternity, first of those that shall not be subject under this. He is the first fruit of the kind of the God kind. He is the first fruit of the kind of those that shall receive the Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life. Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection harvest. In other words, he is not the only one, but those that have also believed in him, they are fashioned after the likeness of him. Says, as all men died in Adam, those that believe in him shall also be made alive in Christ Jesus. So he is the first fruit of those that believe in God. We have been made alive in him. The life of God, it runs throughout our bodies. The life of God is on the inside. If you believe in him, you have become after Christ, who is the first fruit of the resurrection harvest, who is the first fruit of those that are infused with the life of God on the inside of them. So in other words, there is no more sickness that is permitted to rule over your body. Why? Because you are also fashioned after the first fruit of the resurrection kind, of those that will receive the life of God. So Christ is the first of the Zoe kind of life. He is the first, of those that shall reign and rule in this life. Romans chapter 5, verse 18, Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life." Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus." So through Christ Jesus, we are reigning in this life. In other words, we are no longer subject to the elements of life. We are no longer subject to the elements of failure. Why? Because failure comes through sin and death. But when we are reigning with Christ, when we believe in him, there's a way kind of life where there is no failure, where there is no drawbacks, where there is no death, where there is where there is nothing that can hinder you. It says we are reigning through the reigning, through the righteous act of one man, we have received grace, and through grace we are reigning into eternity. Through grace we are living up to eternal life. Through grace we are reigning as kings in this life. The Passion Translation says, "In other words, just as condemnation came upon all men through one transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God, it leads us to a victorious life." So when we were separated because of one man's sin, the Bible says we are now reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we have the ministry of reconciliation in our bodies. Because of what Christ did, we are reconciled back to God. We are not only just reconciled, but we are also given eternal life. We are also made unto like him. For them that believe gave ye power to be called the sons of God. We are no longer just people that believe, but we are carrying that which Adam lost in the beginning. We are carrying. The Bible says, you know, when you read Genesis chapter 3, it says, you shall toil. Toil came as a result of Adam's sin. But when we are restored to God, it means everything has been made easy. In my labor, I shall reap the fruit. In my labor, I shall enjoy the harvest of my labor. I shall no longer work and not see anything happen. In your business, you shall no longer do things and not see anything happen. Why? Because you are reigning in this life as kings. Come on, it says we are led into a victorious life. We have received the victorious life. The victory over sickness. Victory over sangomas, victory over witchcraft, victory over disease. We have the victorious life because we now believe in him. There is no failure that is allowed in you anymore because of Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I want you to declare that. That I have the victorious life. It says, through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God. We have been made right with God. There is no more condemnation against me. There is no more sin that is counted against me. And that perfect righteousness that leads us to be right with God, the Bible says it leads you and me to a victorious life. The life of God is a victorious life. We are no longer living in a life of right. You can't cry no more. Come on. You can't be sad anymore. You have victorious life in Christ Jesus. Right where you are, I want you to begin to pray. And just begin to declare this victorious life over your finances, over your health, over your family, over your marriage. Why? Because in him we have received grace. Open your mouth and just begin to pray. Come on, declare victorious life over your health. Declare victorious life. You are no longer under sin and death. You are under the victorious life of Christ. It is at work in you. It is reproducing victory in all areas of your life. Radoba shika daya santale gredogoska. Mandele de brokoska. Kedeso grade li draga zonte la grada gadia sada manto gradie sede gedia jagrada goska manto gozete ke lida badise la tache grede goska mante grede gosantia da la braso kotea in the mighty name of Jesus. O radabaka sante le grodo goska dia sada in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, continue praying throughout the week. Continue declaring the victorious life. Whatever it is, that thing that is too hard for you, that thing that you thought you could not achieve, the Bible says you are no longer under the law of sin and death. You are no longer under subject to failure. But the life of God is flowing on the inside of you. As death came through Adam, the Bible says we now live in him. As we abide in him, life is in us. It is overflowing. The Zoe kind of life. The life of God. From Apostle Michael, I just want to thank you for watching today. You know, continue watching. Be with us on the next series, on the next series, on this, you know, on the next segment in this series. Watch with us. Grow with us. Let God transform your lives. Let God just bring change over your lives and your families. And I prophesy and I declare that in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We would like your support with your offering, with your donation. Our banking details are below. If you want to give, if you want to seed, if you want to tithe, use the details below to send us your seed, to send us your tithe. Support our ministry financially in these crucial times. Let's just be a partner with us and let's grow together. As God is taking us places, let us go with you. Pray for us, you know, and just speak good things concerning us in Jesus' mighty name. See you next time. From Apostle Michael, Pastor Ruth, and the ECCI family, we love you. God bless you.